This task force to counter foreign interference is about identifying it, disrupting and prosecuting. It's an issue that is presenting in many other jurisdictions, and Australia is seen as a world leader in this area.
That's the Prime Minister Scott Morrison announcing today that Australia's domestic spy agency, ASIO, will lead a new task force to tackle foreign interference. The Prime Minister says the government will spend nearly $90 million setting it up. John Blaxland is a Professor of International Security and Intelligence Studies at the ANU. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Thanks for having me on the program, Patricia.
Why now? Why are we seeing this task force being set up now by the government?
This has been brewing for a while, actually, I think. My sense is that what we've seen in the newspapers and in the media over the last week or so is actually just the kind of the capstone to something that's been brewing for a while. And the reports of espionage, you know, one of the reasons why it resonated so well, even though there's now pundits saying it's probably a little bit overblown, is that the components of the story all made sense. They all kind of rang true, given the stuff that's already been out there, the concerns that have already been expressed, and the level of sophistication and the rate at which it's been happening is all kind of snowballed to this point. But also, it kind of builds on what's happened before. You know, we've had interagency task forces for counterterrorism. We've developed one now for cybersecurity. And now we're going one step further, and which is this, you know, the new bogeyman, foreign interference. Now, I say new, but I'm really talking about something that's kind of it's got a bit of legs, because when I was writing about the history of ASIO back in the days of the Cold War, and with my colleague David Horner and Rhys Crawley, when we started the project, the idea of foreign interference, it seemed like a quaint kind of project that was going to be an esoteric little sidebar discussion in the book that we'd have to explain to people as we went along. As we got nearing completion of the project, 2015, 2016, we started getting this sense that people weren't all that comfortable with us talking about it because the game was back on. And what we've seen in the 3 years since we finished that project, and I've been watching it, you know, from outside for a while now, paying reasonably close attention, is that this has really accelerated and it's become a pervasive, and it's got above that kind of public detection threshold level. And now that's not in the interests of those who are pushing foreign interference, but it is certainly useful for Australia to have a bit of a wake-up call. So what's happened in the last week or so in the news? It's fortuitous, given the timing of this release, that this project, which seems to have been in the pipeline for a while now, has come to fruition with that in it happening in the background. Because now people can say, ah, I get it, that's what's happening. But I do have one concern, Patricia, and that's, I think, worth flagging. That is that, you know, and this is something other people have expressed concern about as well. That is that we're seeing the national security space develop increasing powers that when you extrapolate it to a less democratic country, you end up seeing things that are deeply disturbing. And we've seen this manifest itself, particularly when a surveillance state gets free rein to do whatever it likes in Asia.
So the key question, I suppose, for our listeners would be, isn't this what our security agencies were doing anyway? What does this task force do that they weren't doing already?
Well, you're right. They were doing a bit of this. But what I think this is doing is ratcheting up the integration and the cooperation between elements of those agencies. So they're getting dedicated additional staff, I understand, and dedicated officers, so that they can get onto doing this kind of really time-sensitive and fairly complicated corroboration of human intelligence, signals intelligence, financial intelligence, police records, to then be able to preempt actions and nip in the bud others that are emerging.
Over recent weeks, we've had reports of attempted interference by China. But was there a tipping point for the Prime Minister, do you think, in terms of setting up this task force? Essentially, is this primarily about China?
Look, the government is not wanting to say that because it doesn't want to make a big hoo-ha.
They don't want to say it, but you can.
Well, that's the point, and that's why I'm doing it. It's not in the government's interests to make a scene about confronting, you know, the biggest kid in the block on this issue when it's about trying to send a message in back channels. Now, one of the key things, you know, for the government is that in diplomacy, the way you tact in diplomacy is really important. You've got to handle this in a way that's not going to generate backlash that will make it more difficult for you than for them. So by not talking about China directly, it's completely being respectful of the diplomatic sensitivities and also giving China some space to say, well, it's that stupid academic from ANU. It's not necessarily the government directly that's saying this. And that's, I think, a very important distinction to make. In diplomacy, sometimes what isn't said is the most important. And I think that's the case here. Just one other point, I think, Patricia, it's worth mentioning. That is that we're seeing here a worrying trend in a sense, because this is a significant ratcheting up of capabilities. You know, we've had a separation of powers, if you like, in the intelligence and national security space for a number of decades for good reasons. Like, you have different agencies performing different functions, and in the old days, never the twain shall meet. But now we're seeing that eroded for pretty darn compelling operational reasons. But with that, commensurately, I believe, there's a requirement for us to ratchet up the level of governance and oversight, because it's really important for the Australian people to have confidence that this isn't some kind of big brother scheme that's going to be, you know, while it sounds good today, in a decade or so, might start developing significant ominous overtones.
You have mentioned this overreach and transparency. Do you think there's adequate transparency around all of this?
Look, it's certainly, there is a risk of this being perceived as overreach. It's fortuitous for the government that what's happened in the news. And as I say, were it not for that, I think it would be more vulnerable to such accusations. My real concern is that they need to assure the Australian people that this is fair and reasonable and appropriately governed. They need to beef up resourcing of the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security and the Security Appeals Tribunal mechanisms that are part of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. They need to be made robust, and they need to be seen as being at arm's length. And that's important not just for the effective functioning, but for credibility and in the long run, not just for tomorrow. But if this is going to be a standing feature for the next few years, if not decades, we've got to get it right. And we've got to make sure that everybody in that space is accountable and feels accountable, and that we, the rest of us, the Australian public, get a sense that no, they're doing the right thing, and we have checks and balances to make sure that that's the case.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Patricia.
That's John Blaxland, who's a professor of international security and intelligence studies at the ANU. And this is RN Drive.